Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to 3-for-1 Sky Fantasy Podcast and Fantasy Football Hub as we look ahead to Game Week 30. Welcome, Paul. How has your Sky week been so far?
It's been pretty good. Well, it felt relatively average, but I have managed to hit half my rank since we were on last week, so up to 700th, whilst still not ideal from where I would want to be at this stage of the season, but I'm pulling back a little bit of respect, I think.
You've never had any respect to pull back, but yeah, I think the Arsenal clean sheet bust probably helped a touch, because Arsenal have just hammered non-owners over the last few weeks, and they've got the 10 points. Saliba and Gabriel and Raya and everyone else have just been hammering it, haven't they? So
I've held Saliba all the way through.
Yeah. Also, that hurt you then, really, I suppose.
He's 80% on, so indifferent to it, I think.
Indifferent. Humbermonk already. He's. We haven't started the Sky content. He said, "I wonder what Paul's end of pod question will be." Already, that's all people are tuning in for. Is that? Well, hey, I've got a question for you for the end. Paul, be quite interesting. Yeah, same really. Dunk's been amazing. I moved back to Dunk, I think, last weekend. I can't believe we moved back from Palmer to Dunk. And he's, I think it's a 13-pointer and a 14-pointer. I just can't get off him when he's fit. It doesn't matter who he's playing. His passing is insane.
His last six games, he's hit four double-digit.
Wow, that is insane. He's such a good asset, isn't he? So, yeah, really happy. He's kind of, I wouldn't say saved my season, but he's really helped me kind of stay in the top 1,000. I think if I had had him, I'd be in trouble. Brought in Huang yesterday for De Bruyne. Obviously disappointing. I was contemplating Saar, but I just looked back through Saar's points, and it was just littered with 2-1, 1-4-2. And I was thinking, if we can get over the three games over Edison, even if he gets a clean sheet and then like a 2 and a 1, it's like 15 points. Edison may or may not get one. So I kind of went against it. But obviously, this is the game. This is the game he banged. So well done, everyone who went for Edison. Geo Boys in the chat went for Saar. Geo Boys went for Saar, and so did others as well. So well done for everyone who went for that. That was a nice haul for him.
I think I like that. I think I like the move from Saar. If you had owned Pickford, I think that was a nice move, that, like, beyond. But then we were talking before we went on air just now, Man City's fixtures upcoming aren't particularly great. Maybe it was an oversight not to consider that. I did have Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who I knew I wanted to get rid of, but then I could have just made him my make-weight tonight rather than yesterday. So,
yeah, just think with Man City generally, maybe not so much last season, but at this point of the season, they generally do tighten up, don't they? They play a bit more pragmatically. They hold on to the ball. It's going to be interesting. I can see an absolute flood of transfers going on in this next week or two. As lots of people, I think I've still got four Man City. I'll definitely be getting rid of Ake. Probably get rid of Edison. I'll keep Roger. I expect probably keep Haaland as well, unless it's an injury. But I can expect a fair few transfers.
Who are you losing? Out of interest, who are you losing tonight?
I'm doing a bit of a hokey cokey, so I'm doing Solanke to Tony, and then I'm going to do get Solanke back for Watkins, because there's a 5-for-1 there, including captaincy. But I don't really not want Watkins
at home to Spurs,
so I'm even tempted to go back off Tony back to what I'm not 100% sure yet. I'm going to see kind of how it plays out over the next few games. But because that Villa-Spurs game is on a Sunday, Man City are playing Liverpool. So I do think Watkins actually has got a decent chance of being a good captain. But Brighton play at home on that day as well against Forest. Dunk is guaranteed some points there.
Yeah. Because one of the challenges I've got, so I've got a couple of options. I still think I'm going to go Tony, although Bowen's appeal's kind of heightened with Paqueta being back.
I agree with that.
So I've got a couple of options. One's defender, which puts me on 3-4-3 if I do that. And one's moving Huang straight back out onto Tony. The problem with doing a defender is that with it putting me three in the back, and I've already got Saliba. Brighton go on a really horrific
Yeah, they do.
run, very soon after the next couple of games, and I wanted to come off of one of their defenders, but I know that I need to get Palmer back, and therefore I couldn't do the Brighton defender to Palmer on that day. I could still do Gross at that point, but that was kind of a reason why I was slightly favouring losing Van Dijk. I know that the Forest game's not necessarily a bad game next week, but then they do have Man City, probable blank, and then return on the following Sunday after the international break when they play Everton. So I don't want to miss the Forest game, but I don't mind missing the Man City game.
Yeah, I agree. I just think, as with all these, when just kind of want to get through each game day and each weekend with kind of minimal fuss and minimal transfers used and minimal complication within your team, don't you? To kind of to come out and give yourself a few options later on, which is why obviously it's good to have above average transfers, because if you haven't got above average transfers, you haven't got the luxury of you have been able to be. Being nimble with this is what I mean about like having Watkins back. It's not ideal at all to have to use the extra transfer between Watkins back potentially for Tony, just as an example. But you never know, like Haaland may get a knock or kind of whatever else. So I could have options at that point. But welcome everyone in the chats. Darren Skidmore is in. Says wake up, Windy. You're late to the party. Graham Craig is in. And Wendy apologizes. His alarm clock needs new batteries. Dave Hannigan is in. Viney, Sam D. Taylor, John A. Cornley asking about tonight's game. We'll skip in. We'll touch on that first. Bobby Shearer, Matt Sky FF, Amandeep is going for Bowen tonight. I don't think it's a bad shout. His predicted points on the hub are still pretty good, and his underlying stats, particularly when Paqueta plays, are good as well. So I don't think it's a bad shout at all. I really don't. Colin Johnston is in. Gordon Hamilton, Tim Barry, Jason Manners, Humble Monk, Tim WD.
Colin Johnson's like 23rd overall, I think.
Is he
He's
really?
right up high, yeah.
Oof, well done, Colin. Flying, absolutely flying. And many others as well. But to Ian's point, and I think this is going to be a bit of a theme, actually, for me anyway. No point in making future plans for after tonight until Thursday at the earliest. As we know, it's the FA Cup. Fifth round midweek fixtures. There's a fixture this evening, but I think it's Maidstone and Coventry or something. There's a couple of fixtures tomorrow night involving Premier League teams, and then Wednesday night there's a host of them. And I think it's eight Premier League teams involved. So once those games are out of the way, the remaining schedule for not far off the whole of the season will become much, much, much clearer, and you can actually start the plan.
I agree with that to an extent, but if you've not got cover for tonight and you're getting
Of
cover,
course.
you're gonna have to con you're gonna have to consider who you're taking out and what
Absolutely.
formation that you go on to.
Yep. Really good point. We had quite a lot of questions around Solanke first, kind of in and out. So my thing, I don't want to miss Solanke at all. Look at his next six fixtures, in assuming they get through in the FA Cup. Sorry, assuming they don't get through in the FA Cup. Burnley away, Sheffield United at home, Luton at home, Wolves away, Everton at home, Crystal Palace at home. That is a pretty sick run of fixtures. So I'm doing a bit of a okie dokie at the moment. I'm taking him out to get Tony Bobby, putting him in again. I could even go straight back potentially from Tony straight to Solanke again if someone gets injured or something kind of happens as well. And in that way I don't have to take out Watkins at all. I'll just see. Yeah, what's your, well you. We have to have him, right? Anyone else from Bournemouth of interest as well, Paul?
Just for me, just the keeper, I think's my
Yeah.
only other point of interest, and more so based on the lack of consistent bonus anywhere in the team. There's been a lot of rotation in the attack and midfielder slot. Like I really like Marcus Tavernier. Remember we were having a conversation about Telegraph, and was it
Was when you
like
were down in Barry with
November?
me, wasn't it?
Yeah, November time, and I was like, oh, you should maybe take a punt on that weekend. He scored two.
I think my actual words were so I had a text off a friend who was saying, who should I put in midfield for less than 2.5? And Paul said, "What about Tavernier?" And I think my words were, "I am not recommending Marcus Tavernier. I'm very sorry, Paul." And he banged in two goals that afternoon. So, yeah.
But all the attacking midfielder spots, even Scott, who looked to, I thought, had maybe nailed his place. He was rested last weekend as well. So it's really the goalkeeper for me. There is a good hop on point this upcoming week. So for those that maybe went, if Wolves' game gets canned, I guess Bournemouth does as well. But at the same time, you still get that fixture game next week by doing the move onto Neto then. And you had just mentioned their run of fixtures is phenomenal. So I think he'd be a decent move as well.
Wider thought on keepers. We've had quite a few questions about keepers. I think looking at it, Neto is probably going to be my move off Edison, just because of the volume and quality of fixtures. That will be next week, not this week, because Edison play home to Man United, which is the same day as Bournemouth. And obviously we get to know the outcomes of the FA Cup, which could affect whether you get to that extra really good fixture or not. But wider point on keepers, people seem to be struggling at the moment on, kind of a stick and pick keeper for various reasons. Alisson's obviously injured. Sanchez is injured. And basically all the rest of the keepers in the league are just not very good. Every team is shipping goals. What's your general thoughts on a forward strategy? I'm pretty keen on some kind of daisy chain. We bought Edison for the 5-for-2 over lots of teams, and now that run is finishing. So I'm looking at Neto, for example, as a 5-for-2 or 4-for-2 back over, and daisy chain on again, because the keeper points are underrated and powerful, aren't they?
Well, that was a strong play in previous and kind of seasons gone by. I think a couple of times in the pod last year we dedicated some time to the keeper rotations, and it just didn't seem to pay off this year to date. Like, remember the Wolves Everton game? That was it Wolves Everton on the Monday night? And they were looking at potential options of jumping on there, and just with the lack of clean sheets, it was kind of the reason why I didn't favour the Wolves keeper move yesterday as much. Obviously, hindsight's a great thing, and if you know he's picking up 11 points, then it makes it look like you earn your keep already by making a move yesterday. But I think with the volume of games that Bournemouth got, the difficulty of the City games, I don't like the non-fixture game of doing it next week, but the fixture against Liverpool versus Bournemouth fixture, and then non-Bournemouth then play the midweek as well, I think that could work out, and you just hold them for a bit of time. And then we've not got the fixtures for April yet, so that could be your prime opportunity to move on as part of single day captaincy for a team that you've not got as well. So I don't mind the move at all. I think it's good, and it frees up the budget, because Neto's only 6.6.
Looking at the next kind of 2 to 3 weeks, it is quite difficult to work out like teams to target. One, because I don't think there's anything particularly fantastic. We mentioned next week Arsenal on Monday the 4th have got two really nice fixtures back to back, but then they have, home to Chelsea's okay, but then they went into Man City. And the fixture are quite kind of elongated in terms of time. There's no team really at the moment, as I say, until Thursday, until things are a bit clearer, until we get off this little week or two. Because I see this next week as people coming off the kind of end of a phase of a strategy of like I say the fight, like the Man City 5-for-2, for example, and things as well. There's not an awful lot to target. Apart from maybe obviously the Bournemouth one. Let's touch on West Ham and Brentford this evening. Obviously, a very important match. And for some reason, I haven't pulled over the slide for it. But on my slide, I think I had Bowen, Areola, and Tony as the three main protagonists for this evening. So some will hold Areola and Antonio already. I think most probably got rid of Bowen because his form's been absolutely terrible. But what's your thoughts on this evening in isolation, and also how that progresses forward in terms of the picks over the next week or two.
Well, I still think that Tony's a standout option, and I think that maybe the distance between him and Bowen is slimmer than what I previously mentioned, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One, Paqueta being back, like, obviously, heightens the attacking appeal and creativity in midfield for West Ham. The other one forms more into your overall transfers remaining. And if I was low or on transfers remaining, I'd be more tempted to move to Bowen, because I wouldn't fancy doing the multiple striker switches that I think a lot of people, and potentially include myself in this, I'll be doing over the next 2 or 3 weeks, as you say, kind of hokey cokey, or some element of daisy chaining the four strikers into the three spots. So the four strikers being Haaland, Watkins, Solanke, and Tony. The real challenge in it all comes with Tony and Watkins both playing in that FA Cup weekend, where we know that they're definitely going to play. So kind of want them both in that game week as well. So if I was lower on transfers, I'd fancy Bowen more as well as part of that.
Yeah, same. It's interesting. I'd not even looked at him really, just because of how terrible he and West Ham have been. But I don't know. I still think I'm going for the best option for the evening, personally, which is Tony. Objectively, who do you think is the best option for this evening if you just had a wild card pick?
Tony for sure. But I think if I was on, where would my overs unders be? Maybe 15 or less transfers.
Yeah, that makes sense. Then
I would consider Bowen and just holding Bowen through it. And they play in that blank game week as well. So you'll get the fixtures from there. And West Ham's fixtures, yes, they've been dreadful from an attacking point of view over the last 4 or 5 weeks. But they have got the fixtures to turn it around. And if they're getting players back, then
everyone is battering Burnley as well. They play a week Sunday as well. West Ham will beat Burnley without a doubt, won't they? And so, I get that.
Well, I don't know. They drew with Sheffield United, which is one of the other teams that expect them back. I agree with the principle. From an attacking point of view, they have got some good fixtures coming up.
We've had a couple of questions around if you've got Areola, would you just stick with him, or would you try and double up, or would you maybe go for Tony? And this kind of links into a question we've had about transfers around, bandwagoning on, you're kind of famed for going with the most popular captain on a certain day, and obviously it worked incredibly well for you last year. I personally think as a general rule, it's the way to go. Obviously, there are occasions where it's not very, if you really strongly feel it's not, or if you've got, if you're chasing potentially, or whatever else, but
or if you've already got cover for the game.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly that. But what are your general thoughts in terms of average remaining now? 16.7 for top 5,000, 17.5 top 1,000, top 100 and top 10, 16.3, 16.9 for top 10. That is insane. You've got to think that someone in the top 10 or a couple of people in the top 10 have got an unbelievable chance of winning now.
Especially when you look at the names in there, because I think I recognise 5 or 6 names in the top 10 from previous seasons. Obviously, the Godfather's in fourth as well, and he'll be there or thereabouts for transfers, I'd imagine, a little bit more than that. I think there's different brackets in which I would consider different plays, I think.
What's the point on number of transfers remaining? Because I'm looking at them now, both in this format and in Telegraph, and I'm quite comfortable still in Sky. I don't really look at my transfer count in Sky. I'm thinking I'm on 21. I'm going up to 20 tonight. I'm really comfortable with that. I think for me, it's when I get down to about, I don't know, I'm trying to think maybe 12 or 13, I start to think about then dead-ending my team, almost like every transfer I make has got to be someone I want for the long term.
Yeah,
there's never an in and out anymore. There's no like a 2-0, 3-1, or you know, unless it's someone like Haaland or Salah. But is that your kind of point, or is it someone else, or is it somewhere else?
Yeah, I still don't think that, like, if you take Huang, for example, yesterday, and I know in hindsight, the move can be criticised, but there was a couple other factors that were perhaps overlooking. In fact, he's 7.3. He's one of the cheapest, still one of the cheapest players in the game. And it's what that price point now allows you to do if you retain him in your team. Like, Salah's going to come back at some point. And we're going to want Salah back in our team, and we're going to want Saka, Son will come into form at some point. They play, Spurs play in that blank game week as well.
Spurs got the fixtures as well.
If you're looking for a he's not overly expensive as well, but if you're looking for a pricier differential right now, like, Son ticks all the boxes for that good fixture coming up this week as well. I still don't think that there's a need to force it. I think there's going to be plenty of opportunities coming up. But I would be conscious that if you're hovering around 15 transfers, that, back to your point, thinking about, would you hold the player long term and not play in short term fixtures, especially for teams that aren't top tier teams. So would I be bringing in Areola for the sake of an extra transfer at this stage? And it was kind of the same reason for why I didn't do Sa yesterday. Yes, Sheffield United at home is an ideal fixture, but I don't really like Wolves' fixtures too much, enough to warrant using a transfer on when I've got one of the best goalkeepers in the league in my team just now.
It's interesting as well, because I've just said, like, as soon as I get down to maybe 13, 14, you know, I don't, like, maybe 13 transfers, I just try and think, right, I really take stock. I'm not going to be far off that in a couple of weeks, looking at the moves I'm planning on making. Definitely going to want, you know, if you've held on to Arsenal, then you laugh. I'm definitely going to want at least two Arsenal players. That's two transfers guaranteed. I've already talked about going kind of Tony in, then onto Solanke, and then onto Watkins, whatever else. That's another two or three. I'm definitely going to want Palmer back on Monday the 11th. That's five transfers.
Arsenal,
and that's without anything else.
The Arsenal one's interesting because if their game gets called off against Chelsea, their fixtures after the international break are dreadful. Mm. I think that a lot of people will take it as a lesson learned and not transfer out their Arsenal players again, having seen what's happened recently. But there's definitely an argument to be made that coming straight back off the Arsenal players for, like, so, again, use Son as an example in this. You could come off an Arsenal player for Son and get some great fixture runs and then move back to Saka or Saliba, maybe like three or four games after the international break for someone else, and you could keep Son until then there. So there's definitely those opportunities as well. But I think there'll be a reluctance to let go of Arsenal assets now, like, just based on what's happened over the last four or five game weeks.
They're just on fire though, aren't they? And the and the centre backs as well. Like, I didn't see the own goal, but it flashed up on my phone as a Gabriel goal. I was like, I can't believe it again. I think it was an own goal in the end, wasn't it? But
well,
they're all there and thereabouts, aren't they?
Kivio scored from a set piece as well.
Yeah, they look all. Yeah, I've done it twice this season. I've had Saliba twice. I've taken him out twice, and twice he has just continued banging. Not every week, but most weeks he's pretty solid, isn't he? So it's going to be hard not to get him in, especially if the Arsenal Sheffield United game. I think even if you have Saka and Saliba on that night, I still think you get a red, because I still think the EO will be higher than two players that night. Yeah. And especially since they play again on the Saturday against Brentford, that could be a hop in and out. You know, I just
that's what I said. I think some people will be tempted not to do it based on the recent, like, what's happened recently. But then some people that have got an abundance of transfers, because they don't, again, that's assuming that Chelsea beat Leeds midweek and therefore that game's not on. And I know it's all hypothetical at this stage. But then when they come back after the international break, Arsenal playing the Sunday away to Man City, mean, it's not great from a, like, particularly from a defensive point of view. The following game week, they play away to Brighton. Then they're at home at Villa. It's not a great fixture. Away to Wolves. Away to Spurs.
I think they're all decent attacking fixtures, mind, I would say.
Yeah, but
Although
I mean it
Brighton
more from a defensive point of
defensive,
view,
yeah, you're right, you're right.
and with the bonus, I'm not convinced that Saliba picks up bonus in all those, in the majority of those games.
Yeah, as we said, I think next Monday when we pod, we're going to be a lot clearer, aren't we, on on lots of things. And just looking ahead now, obviously there'll be some people making a transfer this evening, Saturday. Trying to think who the cat will walk through it now, but the captaincies are pretty clear. There's captains available, aren't they, for the next few games until we get to next Monday, and on Monday then let's say the lay of the land will be much clearer. How many transfers do you think we need, Paul, to keep? What's the minimum of transfers you think you need now to keep rising, to have a higher rank than you've got now at the end of the season? Because I think there's definitely
I'd
a
say just above the
threshold.
average. I'd say just above the average. So maybe like 18, maybe.
Has your have your expectations changed much over the last 2 or 3 weeks?
Well, half of my rank, like 700 places. Oh, I think I was 1400th last week. I was somewhere around about there anyway. Showed how easy it is to move there, but I think it's going to be a bit more like treacle,
Yeah,
like
agree.
as I start coming up a little bit more. I still think, I think top 100 is, unless I went on a really good run and I'll need one or two differentials at the end of the season, which I'm, like at that point, I may be happy to take a couple of punts. They would need to pay off as well, which is half the battle, not more than half, it's more than half the battle, right? So I think that what I'd said previously, like 250, if I get in the top 250 from here, I think from my current position would be a good outcome.
What do you think?
But my target's top 100.
What do you
If
think?
I got 99th, if you offer me 99th right
You're
now,
taking
I'd
a
bite your
heart.
hand off.
What do you think the average transfers is amongst very engaged managers? Like everyone listens to this pod, for example.
Yeah, pretty similar to mine, like 23, 24.
23,
I think,
24.
yeah.
Was...
Or do you think, or
No,
you think it's less?
no. Oh, no. No, I agree. I'm just saying you've got more than me. I'm a few points ahead of you, but you've got a couple more transfers than me, and you've got Saka in place already.
You'll get the points before whoever you take out for Saka, though, so you get those points on me.
Just so everyone
And Saliba.
knows, Paul and I were texting on Saturday, and Paul said that he's thinking about potentially bringing in Saka, and he texted me a bit later to say I'm definitely not bringing in Saka, and then he brought in Saka. So yeah, this is what I have to put up
Well,
with every weekend, these mind games.
is that strictly true? Because
Mind games.
the way the conversation went was, you were thinking about bringing in Saliba, and I went, "Oh, really? I'm thinking about bringing in Saka." And then we went on to talk about Dream Team, and then my comment at the end, which may or may not have been related to Sky, and I can't work out if it was or not, was, "I think I'm just going to hold."
Yeah. To me, I was like, oh, yeah, he's yeah,
Because that
he's.
was before the deadline of Dream Team as well when I made that call, so I don't know. I don't know.
It wouldn't. It wouldn't matter anyway. I wasn't making that move, but
I did influence. I did what I information I was giving you was a better move out of the two, out of what you had suggested and what I had suggested, though.
yeah. Thanks for that. Colin Johnson says 26 left, and
Well, there
tip,
you go. He's in, and I say he's in like
and
23rd or
he's
something. So.
flying. Really, really, really good stuff. Yeah, there's lots. There's lots. I saw lots earlier. Yeah, I think someone's still got like 30 plus transfers left, ranked like 1,500. Absolutely flying. Like really, really good. Let's have a look at the game week in front of us. No early match again, is there? On Saturday?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay. Spurs and Palace, 3 o'clock. Forest, Liverpool, Newcastle, Wolves, Fulham, Brighton, Everton, West Ham, Brett. Is that 6 3 PMs? Yeah, it is. What do you do if Salah's in the lineup? Away to Forest.
The fact that they play City the week after, and then again, we'll know at that point whether they don't play the following week. I'm not going for him. That's it.
Who's your captain going to be? Watkins?
Yeah.
Way to Luton. It's probably the best option, isn't it? Spurs.
Van Dijk. I'm assuming that people wouldn't move Son, albeit, you know, if there's an injury, like going into this weekend, we've got a full round of FA Cup games to play with 10 Premier League teams playing in that as well. Right. So a move to Son could be good.
But gets you a lot of lineups as well, which is good.
I think at present it would be Watkins. I guess there's an argument for one of the Brighton players as well. I think on the effective ownership point, I think Watkins is already in 90-odd% of teams, and I imagine the majority of Watkins owners will captain him as well. Maybe not all, but so yeah, that'll be Watkins for me.
Sunday 3rd, Burnley, Bournemouth, Man City, Man United. We won't see the City lineup, but Alan Cap.
I think that's a good fixture. I think that's a good fixture for Haaland. I think I'll captain him, and then I'll probably move Solanke in probably for Watkins. I really don't. I am uncomfortable with the fact that I then wouldn't own Watkins at home.
Are you definitely not going to own him for that fixture? There's no chance you'd bring him back.
I don't see who I could bring him back in for. Unless you took Haaland out away to Liverpool, if you weren't going to captain him. Because then, again, Man City are unlikely to play the following week and then play the Sunday the week after. So that legit could be a play there if it wasn't if I wanted Watkins back in at that point.
Interesting. And then Monday the 4th of March, as we just talked about, Sheffield United against Arsenal. Lots of people hold Arsenal, so easy for them. Saliba or Saka? Got to be Saka, I'm assuming.
Yeah, because the fact that Sheffield United, well, I guess you could make this argument for both, because they're dreadful at defending set pieces, particularly at home, but Saka takes the set pieces and your centre-halves are likely going to be on the end of them as well. So I think I'd captain Saka. I think just with his upside, although Saliba and Gabriel have showed that they can rack in big scores, but I think Saka will be the captain for me.
This must be the first time this season, the first time in a long time, that we see 8 of the 10 lineups. That's crazy. We never have that, do we? Ever. Because it's always a 12:30 on a Saturday. Good stuff. Good for transfers, right? Good for captaincy, because if you do or don't see someone, also take advantage if there's an injury or dropping or something. So we've gone through most of the questions. Another one we had was around kind of Foden and De Bruyne. So I got rid of De Bruyne for Hwang, which, you know, obviously for the captaincy, but it's also freed up a lot of cash in my team, which is enabling me to make a couple of other moves. A few asking around Foden, whether to keep. He looks to be the main man at the moment. I don't think you own Foden, but what are your thoughts on those pair?
I think Foden might be the one that is the makeshift to go to the Arsenal players next Monday if they hold them. I'd imagine most Foden holders moved off Arsenal. Not all, but I'd imagine that was a popular play. We had mentioned there about City's fixture run being pretty difficult. Maybe even Foden back to Palmer the following week's a play that some will make, I think. I think he's dispensable. I think he's done well for those that have held, obviously. But I do think he's dispensable. And De Bruyne, I don't think De Bruyne's a great fantasy asset. And like, you don't rack up the bonus with assists in Sky, like you generate bonus points in other fantasy formats. So
Right.
the argument might be stronger for him in other games than it is in this. It was the sheer volume of games play that I think the majority of us went for him here.
And final question of the week. Two parts. What is the favorite city you have visited in the world? And secondly, what is the city you haven't visited that you want to visit in the world, to put you on the spot?
This is one that I certainly wasn't prepared for. Best city I've been to, I've only been
Yes.
once, was Boston.
Oh, wow, okay.
Loved it. Very relaxed, very cool. Like, Vegas is my spiritual home and I've been quite a few times, but Boston's like one place that I've been that I'd love to go back. It's just, yeah, as I say, I'd came from New York to go to Boston and it was just so relaxed
Yeah.
and the bar scene was really cool and like yeah, food, everything. Yeah, it was
Oh,
great.
nice.
Great.
Interesting. Interesting.
And one place that I haven't been that I want to go to, Tokyo.
Ah, yeah. Cool. Good choices there, Paul. Tim in the chat
What about you?
says Edinburgh is nice. I really enjoyed my trip to Edinburgh, actually. It was one of the I don't know kind of what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting what I got. I was really surprised just how beautiful it was. I would say Edinburgh. My favorite city I visited is Rome, just because I was I kind of love all the ancient Roman sort of stuff, kind of fascinates me. So going to see it and seeing the sheer size and breadth of everything across Rome just absolutely kind of staggered me, to be honest. The
The
Trevi
Trevi
Fountain
Fountain is
was
pretty.
one of the most that I've probably had about 3 or 4 moments where I've turned a corner and kind of not really expected to know what was there. I remember being on Google Maps and looking for the Trevi Fountain. Obviously know what it looks like in terms of pictures, but when you've been there, you don't realize it's kind of hidden in behind all these buildings, isn't it? And then I turned the corner and just all of a sudden it was just there in front of me, and I was like, they have those absolute wow moments. That was pretty special, I gotta be honest. And it was jammed as well, jammed with people. It was like a carnival. It was amazing. One of the other ones was in Barcelona, actually. The turned the corner, the I'll get the name right, Santa Guard Familia. I probably got that wrong, but it's the unfinished church, which was just, again, blew me away in terms of not expecting the sheer scale and size and beauty of it.
Yeah.
That was amazing. But I've got to say, Rome. I just love Rome. Walking through the streets for hours and hours and hours, just every corner you turn, there's just something breathtaking in front of you. So, in terms of want, I don't not really sure. Just really sure, to be honest. I've never been to New York. I think I'd like to go to New York. I've never been, and yeah, I've never been. I don't think I've been to as many places as you, but Ian Parron says best Rome, want Florence. Colin Johnston, favorite Tokyo, want to go to New York. Nathan says Moscow is nice. Went for the 2008 United Champions League final.
I went to watch Scotland play in Moscow.
Oh, okay. Matt says Seville. Dave Hannigan says Venice. And Colin was in Japan for the World Cup 2002. Yeah, I would say Edinburgh though. Did if you if no one's ever been to Edinburgh, it absolutely blew me away, I've got to be honest. The company was absolute shit, but the play.
You've got in for me. You've got in for me today.
I have. It's all Saka. It's do with Saka. You kind of you get the little like cocktail. How Paul and I relationship goes is that he's got this little like cocktail, this metaphorical cocktail stick that he just keeps every now and then he like digs me in the side with little things. And all of a sudden when I turn around and go, "Hey, Paul," he's like, "Oh, you got it in for me." That's kind of how our relationship goes with fantasy football. Dave's want is Reykjavik. Gary Plant, San Francisco. San Francisco would be another place I'd love to go as well.
Yeah, that's good. Good.
I'll have a think for next week. I write these questions, but I don't actually think of the answers myself. So I'll do that maybe for next week. Good stuff. And yes, thank you so much to everyone for watching and listening. Your continued support is much appreciated. Thank you so much, Paul. Where can people find you?
On Twitter at Paul McInulty. one. So it's MCA in ULTY.
Lovely stuff. Colin, can't wait to go to Rome. Absolutely, Colin, honestly, just absolutely breathtaking. Everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, amazing. And El England, Iceland, one of my top five. Never been to Iceland. Have you been to Iceland, Paul?
Yeah, I went with my dad for his 50th.
Oh, wow.
I bought my ex a trip to go. We split up. And because I hadn't passed over the booking details, I just kept it. My dad turned 50 that weekend, so me and my dad went instead.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, I tell you something I'd like to do. It's something my parents did last year. And they did a Scandinavian cruise. Not just in Scandinavia, but I think it went all the way to sort of like Poland and then kind of up and down. I think they stopped off at like kind of 8 or 10 different places like Oslo, Copenhagen. And the photos they took were just, it looked incredible. It looks like one of those where unless you've been, you can obviously never stand. But that's something on my bucket list to do, something like that, like, you know, a 10 or 14 day cruise and kind of stop off at all those places. I can imagine that would be pretty amazing. Helsinki, I want to say as well. I think they've stopped off at like some pretty amazing places. So Zvonimir, I loved Budapest. Awesome, awesome place. If you like what you watched, please press the like button. Remember to subscribe in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. If you enjoyed your listen, please rate the podcast versions and leave some comments. We'll be back next week to preview Sky Game Week 31. In the meantime, hope you have a great Game Week 30, and goodbye for now.